Alright, we're recording. Good evening, everyone. We're going to start tonight's city council meeting. I ask that we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ask the clerk to call the roll, please.
Ms. Clancy Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Queeteck.
Present.
Ms. Leon. Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. Councilwoman Leon will not be joining us this evening. She is in Harrisburg for Hispanic Heritage Month event. Moving on to approval of the minutes. Any comments for the minutes from the September 5th, 2023 City Council meeting? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved. We will move on to public comments, starting as we customarily do on any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. We do have a dozen people signed up tonight, so I will give everyone a heads up. At that 5-minute mark, I will be asking everyone to please bring your comments to an end. I'll go around the room. Well, I'll start with those who had signed up. Forgive me. And then we're going to start with Mr. Tom Schantz, who had signed up.
Thank you. I'm Tom Schantz. I'm partners in Steel Ice Center and the Wing Creek Event Center with Jeff Traynor. We invested $25 million of our own private money into those two projects. And my problem now is the Steel Ice Center is getting run over, literally, October 21st by American Cancer Society run. We are told that all the streets, well, as you know, we only have one way in and one way out. We could use Webster, but they're shutting First Street down from 7:30 to 10:30, which means 6,000, now I found out too, there's 6,000 people in this event. 6,000 people will be coming back Second Street. So I'll be shut down basically till 2 o'clock. Here's a sample of my schedule. Starts at 6:30 in the morning, hockey games from out of town kids. So I'm gonna be shut down. My business is shut down. I'm paying these taxes to have my stuff shut down. It's one thing to be disrupted, like this weekend, where at least our police force is letting our people through. But there is no way with 6,000 people in three different runs or walks that I'll get anybody in there. I don't know what else to do and who else to do. And I was told that the city okayed this. So I'm coming to you for help, because no one from the city reached out to us or the map of what it was. Because not only that is, there's only other businesses might be affected, but they have different avenues to get to their venue. We don't. We have one way in, one way out. Polk Street and Webster. And if they're going First Street, I'm sure they're going over Fahey. So, and then they're going to come back. So that shuts me down. I don't know what to do. My schedule is set. A year in advance. We're working on next summer now for our schedule. And we still didn't hear anything from the city. We heard a guy from American Cancer Society came in the other day. I think he was trying to be nice to me, but then he tells me I shut my streets down. First Street shut down from 7:30 to 10:30. I mean, I didn't give him a very nice response, but, you know, I didn't yell at him. But, it's just a shock that this can happen. And I was the first one to build down there. No one else was down there. There was no one down there. All these problems started coming down when ArtsQuest came down there and stuff like that. We've been working side by side with ArtsQuest, and they take and take more. Well, you know, how much more can I take? I can't run a business. I can't run my business on a Saturday and a Sunday, the half marathon. Why don't they go run on a towpath or the path or whatever it's called? Why not go to Lehigh? If there's 6,000 runners, there's not that many hotel rooms in this area that's going to hold 6,000 people. So this thing can be more mobile than, oh, it's just a good idea to have it at ArtsQuest. Well, it might be for a few people, but for me, it's terrible. It's a killer. This is my busiest time of the year. I go from 6:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night. Hockey all day. Figure skating all day on the weekends. Every night, 5 to 10. If you ever go down First Street at night or on the weekends, you know it's in and out. People are in and out all day, and they're coming from 3 states, Jersey, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. Sometimes when I have a tournament, they're coming from Massachusetts out of town. So that weekend, it's all local, but I have 5 games before noon that will totally be affected, before 6 before 1 o'clock. That'll be totally be affected, which will make, if this goes off, my home teams will have to forfeit games, which they get penalized. So I don't know who decided on this and why they wouldn't come to us and say, like, hey, is there another option, or how do we do this? But with this many people, I don't know what to do. You know, I mean, do I send a bill to the American Cancer Society for all the money I lose? The snack bar, the pro shop, all the hockey, you know, it's $400, $375, $400 an hour I lose on both sides of ice. So I don't know what to do. Or do I send it to the city? I'm sure that'll go over well. You know, so I'm just saying, I had to get my say in. I don't know. It's been going on for 11 years now since ArtsQuest has been down there. So I guess we live it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schantz. And I will say to everyone in the room, a few of our department heads are here, including Mr. Alcar, Director of Public Works. I know the city has a special events committee that coordinates all these things, so if you want to stick around to the end of the meeting, someone may be able to talk to you more one-on-one and address some of those things that you brought up, sir. Our next person signed up this evening, Linda Crispin.
Hello, my name is Linda Crispin. I'm from Lehighton, Pennsylvania. I'm president of Save Carbon County. We attended your last meeting and presented our concerns about the use of sewage sludge as fertilizer on farmland. We don't think that taking human excrement, adding pharmaceutical waste, chemicals like PCBs and forever chemicals and heavy metals, and then spreading this mixture on farm fields, thereby introducing it into the food chain, is a good idea. You listened to our concerns, and we appreciate that. We respectfully requested that the city of Bethlehem find another way to dispose of solid waste. One of your staff suggested that landfill disposal would cost an additional $500,000 a year. Now, cost should not be the primary consideration when you're thinking about doing the right thing, but we are responding to that concern by presenting information that suggests that adding an anaerobic digester to your wastewater treatment plant is an economically viable alternative. You have the information on lime green sheets in front of you. Your staff may have considered anaerobic digestion in the past, but now is a good time to reconsider the option. These digesters co-generate biogas, which can then be turned into electricity, which can run your wastewater treatment plant and maybe even sell electricity back to the grid. With the rising cost of fuel, that makes that a more economic offset to the cost of the digester and disposal. There are some economic and environmental benefits in addition to providing an alternative to waste landfill disposal, which are listed on that sheet. And I hope that you will reconsider this option and others, because this use of waste sludge, sewage sludge, to fertilize farm fields is poisoning land all across Pennsylvania and throughout the United States. Something needs to change. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Mary Jo McCool.
My name is Mary Jo McCool and I live at 449 Grandview Boulevard. I have looked at the city's climate action plan and have some thoughts as to how the impact Hanover Apartments and Martin Tower developments will have. While this body will not rezone Hanover Apartments from CL to RT, would you consider modifying the height of the buildings, the height of five stories, to include the underground parking, thus reducing the total height by one floor? This, in essence, would make the buildings four stories instead of five. This is something I believe area residents could get behind. My reason for broaching this idea is I believe it works with the city's climate action plan. The goal is to reduce our carbon footprint, something I believe everyone here supports. Building height means using more materials that must be robust enough to withstand heights of 400, 600, or 800 meters. While the proposed Hanover apartment heights are much smaller by comparison, height substantially increases carbon footprint. Cement is responsible for 8% of the planet's CO2, more than carbon emissions from aviation. The production of concrete is responsible for 2.87 billion tons of CO2, which is equal to the 4 to 8% of the world's greenhouse gases. There are ways to combat this if the city is serious about its climate action plan. The two that come to mind are slow down development of open spaces and create more green spaces. Urban trees and green spaces help reduce urban heat island effects and man-made infrastructure. Keeping more carbon from being released thus reduces flood risk, improves water and soil quality, while supports wildlife diversity. The surrounding wooded area is home to deer, foxes, possum, groundhog, and other wildlife. As trees grow, they will help reduce climate change by removing CO2 from the air and store it in its trees and soil and release O2 into the air. The amount of green space and big trees play a big part in heat variances. Areas with trees are much cooler than those without. In other words, increasing green cover and open spaces help to balance temperatures in cities, counteracting urban heat. I believe modifying the zoning ordinance height of 60 feet to include the parking would not only reduce carbon emissions of the structures themselves, but would reduce those produced by vehicles in the area. This would help bring the complex more in line with the neighborhood. The Climate Action Plan also wants to encourage mass transit and bike use. Well, mass transit is fine and it is a viable alternative to some things. However, when I worked at the Lehigh Valley Mall. Now, for me to take a bus from West Bethlehem to the mall, I would have had to transfer two or three times just to get to work. That's not time effective for me, or wouldn't have been time effective. Good time management for me. Riding a bike, the mall does not provide showers for you to take a shower before you go on the selling floor, so that was a moot point. So if you're serious about the climate action plan that Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton all agreed upon, I strongly suggest looking into curtailing some of the heights and development within the area, because that's the best resource to curtail greenhouse gases. So I hope that the city would take, I don't know how long it would take for a modification. I know the city did modify the parking space size from 1.75 to 1.5. Well, that increases the number of parking spaces, which increases more traffic. So it's counterproductive, but that was adopted in 2021, where it was modified. So I don't understand. I'm hoping that this body might be able to modify the height requirement to include the parking. It's illogical to think that you can have a structure five stories tall but not include the parking. The parking actually makes it a seven-story building. So I implore this body to truly look at the resources and listen to the concerned citizens that this building is going to have a severe effect on. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Our next speaker is Lynn Rothman.
Lynn Rothman, 870 Wofford Lane, Bethlehem. I just wanted to express our appreciation to Mike Hal Forster. He is the Director of Recycling for the city, and he gave us a over 2.5 hour tour, the members of the EAC and some members of City Council, of the recycling facilities and the yard waste facilities the other day. Mike is a wealth of information. He has been in this field for decades and was very informative, and wanted me to pass along that everything that you take to the recycling center and the items that you put out by your house are indeed recycled. They're not sent to a landfill. And if you have any questions about what to recycle or how it works or the program in general, just call the city office, 610-865-7082, that's the recycling department, and they have people that are on the phone, manning the phones all day to answer any questions. And on a personal note, please give Alex a parking permit. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rothman. Our next speaker signed up this evening, Mary Wright.
Hello, I'm Mary Wright. I'm with Touchstone Theater over on the south side of Bethlehem. I'm also a West Side Bethlehem proud resident. I'm here tonight to let you all know, Mr. Mayor, you already know, City Council, you have some of these on in front of you. Touchstone is about to launch its fifth annual festival, Unbound, which is a five-day festival that includes dance and music and art and food and conversations that try to bring the community together to talk about the things that we care about and to try to create a community that all of us will feel at home together. It's a kind of radical act of envisioning our lives together through art. So I encourage you to come. If you aren't sure what to do, you can go to Touchstone's website, touchstone.org, to Festival Unbound, and the schedule is there. We like to say you can throw a dart and you'll find something that you'll like to do. If you aren't sure at all what to do, please come here to next week, next Wednesday night, just outside of this very rotunda. You may not know it, but this is about to be turned into a spaceship. UFOs have landed, ladies and gentlemen. You may have seen some of them around town. The mayor is actually going to have a press conference about it next Wednesday night. We are going to be welcoming them to Bethlehem and showing them the best that Bethlehem has to offer. I hope you will join us because you are part of what's best. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker tonight, Robert Virgilio.
My name is Robert Virgilio. I live at 522 Long Street here in Bethlehem. I've been a resident of Bethlehem for 36 years. I've been a small business owner for those 36 years. My wife and I and my son, my oldest son, own and operate the granola factory at 518 Long Street, and as well across the street at 44 East Broad Street on the backside where the warehouse is. So we're a small business and we're growing, and one of our specialties is called the Bethlehem Bar. If I could approach the president.
We'll be here, Ms. Marks.
Faster, please. I was going to say that the value of these is less than $25.
I'll pass them around. Thank you, Ms. Marks.
So in the 36 years that I've lived in Bethlehem, I've always been very happy and proud of our men and women in blue, our police department, and how they've kept illegal activity and crime from other areas entering Bethlehem, keeping our city a nice, safe city. I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. Our city's growing, however, and you can see that every day when you drive through town with all of the different apartment complexes, and it brings more people from different places, and a lot of those people are good people that will be living here and enjoying the city. Our police force, though, is shrinking, I'm told. Our population is growing. And I think we should know, as the public should know, that are we having an increase in crime along with the increase of population and development, or are we not? And so, like years ago, I started to look into the paper and to see what happened. Recently, there was a shooting on Epline Street, and that's all there was. I mean, there's not a whole lot in the newspaper anymore. And our city police department, our website for the city doesn't have anything that tells you that I could find, that tells you about the crime or any sort of disturbances that are going on during the evenings or during the week. I'd like to just make a proposal that the city council and the mayor look at having our police department establish a crime map like Lower Saucon does, so that the public can know what's going on with crime and any kind of illegal activity that's taking place, so they can determine whether it's close to home, take a stand with Crime Watch, be aware of it, and also so they can be aware of the fact that our police are taking care of these problems and appreciate what the police do. So I'll leave that thought with you and hope that you take that into consideration in your council meetings. And perhaps it's not too hard to do. I think it'd be a good thing. A police department's very important to the residents and the well-being of our city. But also it's very important to small business and business in general, if the city wants to nurture the business that it has and see more business come to town. Okay? I can't imagine the Bethlehem Bar being from some other town. I'd like to stay here in Bethlehem. So I'm hoping that things continue to go very well in the terms of the city taking care of all the problems that may be coming as the population grows in Bethlehem and development starts to take hold. So thank you, City Council. Please take that into consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Virgilio. Our next speaker is Paul Fondel.
My name is Paul Fondel at 413 Grandview Boulevard. My question tonight is, what is the city going to do for me and for the residents surrounding the development of the vacated Bennett property? And I just wanted to give you a little bit of what I've done for the city. You know, and of course, a lot of the people in my community have done things too. The following is what I have done for the city of Bethlehem over the years. I've been living and paying taxes to the city and school district for 57 years. I was a volunteer for Music Fest for the first 12 years as chairman of Flowers. And that was working with 12 volunteers, working from April through October every year, benefiting the historic area of North Bethlehem. The following things were what we had accomplished. We had 24 barrels of flowers throughout Main Street and Broad Street, which we took care of from April until October. We had flowers during the festival on a bridge at Festplatz, as well as in front of the stage. We had a butterfly garden in Johnson Park, which we maintained the whole season. We had flowers spelling Music Fest at the bottom of Main Street, which they're still doing today, but that's about all they're doing. And then we had Blumenplatz, the flower garden behind the library. Now, I think all you city people know where that was. And we spent many, many hours of keeping that thing trimmed. We also had a contractor at no cost to the city to put a fence around that garden. Part of that fence is still there. And I also worked with Charlie Brown and the City Flower Committee. Because what happened, Music Fest was taking care of the flowers throughout the north side, and Charlie wanted the city to do their part, so he started a program of putting flowers on the south side as well as the north side. And I also was instrumental in getting a sponsor to install 12 full-grown trees and landscaping in the fairgrounds area. And those trees are still there, and that was at no expense to the city. I am sure that there are many other residents in this neighborhood that have done more than just pay taxes, that they work for the city in some voluntary way. I found it was hard to believe that a developer can come into the city and get a sweetheart tax deal who is a billionaire, and we can't even get the Hanover apartments lower to 3 stories. That is all that the community wants out there. I was very happy with the zoning board's rejection of the variance to extend the 4 buildings an extra 100 feet each. However, I was highly disappointed that they dropped their requirement of the developer to provide retail space along Broad Street. This will allow the developer to build many buildings as possible, 5 stories high, with podiums underneath and equipment on a roof, increasing the height of that building, those buildings. This would be unreasonable. The zoning board failed us, but not realizing how massive this project is and how will it overwhelm the neighborhood. I don't think the zoning board realizes what 5-story buildings will look like in that area. Since the city zoning board allowed dropping the requirement to have retail space on Broad Street, the city should change the zone from commercial limited or CL to RT, high density residential. And I don't know why this can't be done, since they did this for the developer. Why can't they do this for the residents? Bringing those buildings down to 3 stories is acceptable by most of the people I talk to in the community.
Mr. Fondo, I am going to ask you to start bringing your comments to a close, please, sir.
All we, the residents, are asking for is to lower the buildings to 3 stories. If the city is going to give the developer a huge tax break, the least the city can do is give the residents that want 3 stories. If we go to court to reverse that zoning decision, is the city going to support us by going to court with us? Or do we have to fight this alone?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fond. Our next speaker is Alex Hirsch.
My name is Alex Hirsch, and I live at 738 Center Street, part-time. I'm up to 429 days since I began this journey. And again, I just really want to highlight my request that you consider amending the existing ordinance that already exists for a special permit to give a residential parking permit to a person with an out-of-state plate. It's there. It just doesn't include any language to include my particular situation, and I would appreciate your consideration of making that change to the language. It'd be very minor. I believe it would have a total impact on the city parking of one vehicle, and I promise I don't plan on getting morbid vehicles, just to prove a point. I just, you know, want to put a permit back on the car that used to have one there. Well, register it. There aren't permits anymore. Let's see. Last meeting, I mentioned my question of whether or not I was technically considered a resident in terms of the local income tax. I did look into that. It turns out that Pennsylvania is very clever, and if I am not a resident here, it just goes to the municipality where I work. So I do have that form filled out on my desk. I'm thinking maybe technically I'm supposed to do that, but my preference would be to keep my tax dollars here in the city where I do reside part of the time, and certainly rely on the city services being there. So that's in holding until I find out that I'm doing something wrong by not turning that form into my employer, but not the windfall I was hoping for. Let's see. On a positive note, the Celtic Classic is this weekend, so please come out and enjoy that if you can. This is my 27th year being involved with that. As a committee member, 12 years, I was a board member, served in different offices there. My current role is tucked away in the back, out of sight. I am in the supply trailer, so I make sure that you have mugs that can be filled and all those sorts of things, and the whiskey gets distributed. It's not a flashy job, but I like it. I'm the young guy, by the way, in the supply trailer. That's why I shifted over to that. I am a full 30 years younger than my colleague there. So that's where I'll be if you want to find me. We're tucked away behind the mounted police pop-up that's normally there. You don't have to worry about my parking this weekend. The festival did give me a parking permit, so I will be in a festival parking spot, because otherwise, legitimately, I would be down. I'm down there from open to close, and I would get tickets throughout the weekend. So this weekend, I'm safe. I don't have to run out of state to avoid a parking ticket, and I have a Celtic Classic one. So in closing, please come to the festival. Please consider modifying the existing language. Again, it's already written for people living in the city with an out-of-state plate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hurd. Our next speaker signed up this evening is Bruce Haynes.
Hi, everybody. Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. I, like Ms. Rothman, I support Alex's request for a parking pass. It's my understanding that at the next city council meeting on October 3rd, you will be forced to vote on a COA for the demolition only of the Walnut Street garage. You're being asked to vote without the benefit of debate on an alternative garage suitability to serve the needs of the Central Business District. This COA is coming to you prematurely and inappropriately for the following seven reasons. Number one, both the city administration and the BPA have preached a false narrative to the HARB in August that there is no alternative to demolishing our primary parking garage for Main Street. There is an alternative path, however, to repair the existing garage, which the BPA has been neglecting for years. In order to achieve their demolition objective, the BPA is practicing demolition by neglect. If you go to the top part of the garage, the top deck, the walled-in area, the glassed-in area, there's glass missing in one panel by the elevator. The other glass panel is broken, has been broken forever, smashed, and the elevator on the closest side of the garage to Main Street has a big sign on it that says permanently closed. And that's our primary location for people to get to Main Street, just as an example of lack of maintenance. Reason number two is the BPA consultants hired in 20 or 21 provided two options. Option A is repair, option B was replace. However, the consultant retained, like their predecessors, despite the urging of Councilman Van Wert, is not an independent consultant that was hired independently. They're in the primary business of managing the construction of new garages. So in effect, the BPA hired the fox in the hen house, as opposed to accomplish their agenda for demolition. The HARB, at their August meeting, tabled the Walnut Street COA application and requested BPA provide three submittals prior to the September 6th meeting. The first submittal was to provide the supporting justification for making a 20% reduction in the capacity of our primary garage for Main Street. Capacity reduction is 160 cars, not insignificant. A 591 car garage is proposed versus 750. The second request was to provide a definitive displacement plan for the over 600 Walnut Street permit parkers during the two-year demolition and construction period. The third request was to provide satisfactory evidence that the abutting Market Street 18th and 19th century homes would not be destroyed during the demolition process. So reason number three why you shouldn't consider this COA is that the BPA failed to provide any of this required documentation prior to the September 6th meeting as requested. Nothing was presented in advance for the public to look at on any of those three items. Reason number four, the HARB was forcibly managed by the administration to ignore any references to the future replacement garage until November, when the BPA would provide that information. They forced the HARB board to only consider demolition and ignore the capacity, height, displacement issues, etc. Reason number five, the HARB then illegally ignored Robert's Rules of Order, for a majority vote was needed to bring the Walnut Street Garage agenda item back off the table before further discussion could occur. That never happened.
Mr. Haynes, I'm going to ask you to be succinct as you finish your list here, please.
I'm near the end. Reason number six, citizen input from at least seven residents provided to the Bethlehem DCED Planning Department were not provided to the HARB board members for their deliberations at the meeting on September 6th. This occurred despite the fact that these were submitted 24 hours before the meeting in the required time frame by the ordinance. So our First Amendment rights were essentially suppressed for this deliberation. And finally, reason seven is the HARB voted to approve the COA prematurely, since the Market Street impacted property owner meetings to deal with this issue for them were not even scheduled until tonight and next week. Therefore, the COA for Walnut Street demolition is an invalid COA that is not ready for City Council deliberation. It's a classic case of putting the cart before the horse. This is the largest and most important project impacting our National Historic District in 50 years. The BPA administration are attempting to force a demolition vote by City Council without the ability for public input, review, and the garage options. The garage is 15 to 25 feet taller and is in the middle of the most historic district we have. Finally, what city in their right mind would reduce the capacity of its primary garage in the face of a World Heritage branding next year?
Thank you, Mr. Haynes.
City Council must resist management by administration. You shouldn't have to pass the bill to see what's in it.
Our next speaker signed up, Angela Mitchell.
Good evening. My name is Angela Mitchell. I live at 430 Cherokee Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for 13 years. And I'm here tonight requesting one more time that there be a speed bump placed in the block of Cherokee Street between Dakota and 4th Street. Our block is becoming a raceway. Our block is being terrorized by motorcycle drivers and motorcycle gangs that drive up and down the street. And you better get out your way because they will run you over. I'm asking again for stop signs be placed at each corner on Cherokee Street from Delaware Avenue, 4th Street, Dakota Street, going down. People are running the stop signs. They're not stopping. On August 3rd, a vehicle almost hit a vehicle who ran the stop sign that I was in. I've seen many of accidents occur or almost. The other thing that I'm concerned with is the landlords. We have more rental property on this block. It's unbelievable. The landlords are not taking care of their property. The landlords are letting their tenants do whatever they want to do. On September 9th, tenants were barbecuing on their porch. I live in a row houses, townhouses, and they're barbecuing on the porch. Smoke going all over the place. So I'm looking forward to see that some changes in ordinances be changed to accommodate everybody on the block. It used to be a safe, clean block. It's no longer that. I'm concerned about the garbage that is left behind when the garbage trucks leave it behind. I'm concerned about the furniture that's constantly being placed on the block by the curb. And I and other people have to call the city to have it removed. I'm concerned about the noise. It's noise during the night. You can't sleep, or you want to sleep late on a Saturday night and you can't because of the traffic and the noise. I'm concerned about the recycling. The other day, our recycling bins are small, so people put the garbage in plastic bags, clear bags, and the driver decided that he wasn't going to pick the garbage up that morning. So I want to know, what should we do if there's only a pickup every 2 weeks? There's more recycling. Do we need larger recycling bins or what? So I would appreciate kindly if you would elaborate on some of the things. The other thing, last year I talked about some of the empty tree wells and still haven't been filled up. What can you help us to do, or me to do, to make Cherokee Street a clean, safe environment?
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. And if you want to stay till after the meeting to speak with any of us, including those from the administration that are here, please do, ma'am. Our next speaker signed up, Edwin Rodriguez.
Edwin Rodriguez, 336 13th Avenue, Bethlehem, 18018. Everything what this lady just said is what I was trying to do years ago. Everything. Those blocks right there from Pawnee, Dakota, Seneca is not all that bad. Up by St. Luke's, but it's really, really bad. Somebody has to do something about it, and I'm asking the police department, like I asked on a previous occasion, with regards to garbage, over on Stefco Boulevard, the same thing. Chief Cott is not here today. But I'm asking the police department, through Chief Cott, I know she'll put her foot down, where it needs to be put down. That is already resolved. The one on Stefco Boulevard. It took a couple of people to do it, but I think Chief Cott sent officers to be watching out, and they got the message through, signs were put up. But these streets, which this lady just talked about, needs to be refreshed so people can live safely. Every day, every day, every day, which I've been talking about for the longest time since I've been back. True, I haven't been here for a little bit of time, but I got some things, medical reasons, that I'm going through right now. People need to be safe, and people need to be sleeping at their regular hours, not looking for a time to rest 5 minutes and then motorcycles are running through their streets. Garbage all over the place. Furniture all over the place. I've been talking about this for years, but really, unless you call a specific department, you're not going to get anything done. You can cry the blues over council meetings, you're not going to get anything done. At all. Unless you come a couple times and have some backup. I'm asking the police department to step in to meet this lady's needs and the needs of those people on those streets. This is very necessary because they need to be safe within their lives. Next, I want to talk about, I want to commend the police department for their work. It's true that they have been a different police department, younger. Some of the older folks are no longer there. But change is needed, and I'm grateful for that. The other thing I want to talk about is the motorcycles that are in the city. And the cars that are illegal. I talked about this several times already. Nothing, absolutely not one thing is done about that. Absolutely not one thing. Something needs to be done about this noise in this city. You have an ordinance for so much of a distance, but yet it still happens. Why is it happening? Why people gotta cry out to the police department, to the city, and still nothing's being done? Why? Why is this allowed to be happening? I don't understand that. I really don't. When you talk to somebody in the city, what happens is that, oh, I'll get back to you. We don't have the time. Or nobody answers the doggone phone. It's ridiculous. Lastly, I want to talk about is Moravian House. I lived there for 10 years. And in 10 years, at 701 Main Street, I took 10 years of asbestos. In that one apartment. What happened to inspections? When I needed something to happen, not only just myself, but others that are living there currently are suffering there. Not only because of cigarette that's allowed in there, because it's a private institution, but the asbestos that I chewed up in my system. 10 years, and I have to suffer the same thing where I'm living now. Things are getting a little bit better, but not quite. Inspections needs to be boosted up and make sure that proper inspections is done with these landlords. Even if it's a private institution, it's not right. People are in danger and it's sickening. I'm going to leave this meeting because I have a shoulder injury. And help this lady out. That's all I got to say. Good night, folks.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Our last speaker signed up tonight, Artie Caratola.
Is that the camera going to the back of our heads?
So next to the exit sign.
So that goes out to everybody. And it's that, like, I suggest we put the pulpit in the middle there and mark this. But anyway, that's another story. Okay. I'm peace activist Artie J. Cacrito Curatola of 813 Wofford Street, host of the Lehigh Valley stage of Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace. That's linked with the United Nations International Day of Peace on September 21st, this Thursday at 12 noon. You could Google Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace and hear and see our 24-hour peace concert that goes out throughout the whole world. One thing I do have to say about violence, stop the violence. Surveillance cameras need to be placed up all over in your city, my city, every city on our planet. Because no low-life criminal element individuals want to be on candid camera. It took me well over 3 years to get the city that I live in to do this. I faithfully would go to city council meetings to push this issue since before the turn of the millennium. Now my city of Bethlehem, in the area of the Lehigh Valley, is among the top 20 safest cities in the U.S. You must go to city council meetings if you want to truly help eliminate violence and get things done. Get those elected officials to start working for you for the high tax dollars that you pay out to them. Why should they not work for you taxpayers of lower and middle class income, rather than just the big corporates? Like nonprofit organizations like ArtsQuest, just to name a few. $100,000 to $200,000 or more each year, depending upon where you live, is way too much money to give to senators, congressmen, governors, and other elected officials who are hired to serve their city or country. But your tax dollars pay for their attorneys in Congress to give them raises. What's wrong with that picture? Us military veterans, we placed our lives in harm's way for under $25,000 a year to serve our country. And some of our friends and family gave their all. What makes elected officials so special that they need way more to serve their country? To serve your city, county, township, state, it's a chance to serve your country. In 2025, if my health holds up, praise God, I hope it does, I will be running again for the mayor of my city. If you live in Bethlehem, it will be your last chance to vote for me as the mayor of your city. If I do get elected, I will do just as good of a job as any mayor, if not better. I will also be an example to take no more than an enlisted man or woman gets, because I look at it as another chance to serve my country. If every elected official would serve their country for approximately $25,000 a year for just 2-3 years, their country and their planet would be more prosperous and be blessed by God with way less violence. Look for my two books coming out. Malibu, which is an action-packed story about surfer competition with non-killing superheroes and supervillains, of course. You gotta have that to make it action-packed. And also, my other true-to-life story, My Life Was Built on Miracles, 101 miracles that have happened in my life. I mean, I flew through a head-on collision, through a vehicle in a high-packed impact, and landed on the hood of the other vehicle, landed on the concrete highway, and with no broken bones. And I had cuts all over my face. Now, if anybody knows anything about medical things, cuts on the face don't heal without scarring. Look closely. I had no surgery, no plastic surgery. Another miracle. I had a rod that went through my chest for an inch and a half. I pulled it out. stop the blood. The doctor said if it went a little bit to the right or to the left, it would have got rid of a main artery or pierced my heart. And they said I wouldn't be able to walk for about 4 months. I was out of the hospital in 4 days. A lot of miracles that have happened to me and probably happened to you if you look into your life. It wasn't luck, it was miracles. Hey, again, I'm peace activist R.D.J. Cree, Cat Credo, Kiritola, host of the Lehigh Valley State for Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace. God bless you all.
Thank you, Mr. Kiritola. That exhausts our list of anyone who had signed up, so we're going to go around the room. I'll start with the left. Is there anyone who hasn't had a chance to speak tonight who wanted to make comment? Seeing none, I turn to the wide center. Is there anyone in the center? I'll start here to the left. And the green.
Good evening, Council. My name is Fran Spivak. I live at Riverport Condominiums, and I just have a few things on my mind. I attended the Planning Commission meeting to learn more about the Mint apartment project, and this is really a plea to the property owners. I hope they would consider the possibility of building townhomes on that and maybe relocating the restaurant elsewhere. You know, we need housing in the city. And to me, this is a perfectly suited parcel that would help that demand. Secondly, regarding the Martin Tower property being designated a deteriorated area, I feel the developer allowed this property to deteriorate. Therefore, let's not reward their bad behavior with any tax incentives. In my backyard, we patiently await the development of the former Starters Pub. This site has been vacant since 2013. I'm wondering if the city can do anything to move any development along down there. I mean, it's been 10 years now, and it's still vacant. And lastly, we now have 3 parking garages in South Bethlehem. The Riverport parking garage is in desperate need of a refresh and some TLC. So I hope we won't let it go the way of the Walnut Street garage. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you. Was there anyone else in the center?
Teresa Coy, 345 Grandview Boulevard. You know, I don't even know where to begin. I've lived in Bethlehem pretty much all my life. You've all heard that before. My parents moved into their house in Grandview Boulevard in 1957 when I was 8 months old. I've seen neighbors come and go. I've seen houses fixed up. I've seen houses get run down. I've seen all the kids I used to hang out with grow up, get married, move on, have kids of their own. To say I love my neighborhood, putting it mildly. And that's why I'm here tonight, because I love my neighborhood. And I do not want the city of Bethlehem to let a billionaire come in and ruin it for me. I retired coming up on 2 years now, and I never thought I'd spend a good deal of my retirement time and money fighting to keep Bennett's lot from becoming overdeveloped with massive buildings and overcrowded people. Maybe the calculations on paper say that 317 apartments originally could fit in on that lot, but in reality, isn't that overcrowding a bit? The zoning ordinance states that a variance shall not be injurious to the neighborhood. Think about it. Think about it if it was in your backyard. We've come to meeting after meeting, expressed our concerns about this project. My main concern now is that since the buildings have to be only 180 feet in length, that the developer will go as high as he can to gain the most number of apartments. Now that the developer has to go back to the drawing board and cope with smaller buildings that would fit on that plot of land, do we even stand a chance fighting against the buildings going up 5-6 stories? The height limit is 60 feet. 5 stories is 60 feet. Can you please explain to me how 5 stories of apartments on podium parking is still only 5 stories? To me, that's 6 stories, and that's taller. The parking area is 1 story in itself, so based on the height limit, the most it can be is only 4 stories if there's podium parking. 5 stories on podium parking would be over the 60-foot limit at about 70 or so feet. We've already expressed that we the neighbors of Grandview Boulevard, Central Park Boulevard, Florence Avenue, Broad Street, we would all be okay with only 3 stories. And we would certainly stop fighting this project if we were guaranteed only 3 stories. We submitted a petition to the zoning board signed by over 200 people. 220 people signed it that would be affected by this project. The three of us went door to door getting people to sign, explaining to them what was going on and getting them to sign it. I think it was thrown by the wayside. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. So I will provide you with a copy. I only have one copy with 220 signatures. If I made another copy, that'd be 440, so maybe I should. Mr. Antalics had it right in his article in the Morning Call that the city's taxpaying residents shouldn't have to help fund this billionaire's project. The Herrick Company let that property get overgrown, and they should be held responsible for that. They should also have to keep the grass cut, keep the weed trees cut down. If they were a responsible company, then they would have been doing that. But no, instead they let the property get overgrown and now are asking for a tax abatement. How is this allowed to happen? Why does the city cater to companies like this? Is it the money? I mean, money is the root of all evil. So now I ask you, all of you city council members sitting there, what is your job, your purpose as a member of city council? To let a billionaire come into town, ruin a sweet neighborhood with a massive apartment complex housing project? I like to call it a housing project because to me that's what it's going to be in my backyard. And then go back to his comfy home in Florida? Or to fight for this neighborhood and help us keep our area in West Bethlehem, as it's been described before many times, a charming neighborhood. And if you've not been there, please go. Please take a ride around. So I am asking you formally now to appeal the zoning board decision that is allowing this developer to have his commercial classification without the retail part of it. CL is commercial with multifamily housing above it. So if there's no commercial, there should be no multifamily housing, period. Thank you.
Was there anyone else in the Wide Center that wanted to make a comment tonight on anything that we're not voting on? I'm going to turn to the right. Was there anyone to the right who wants to make comment on anything, sir?
Martin Romrell, 26 West Market Street. I'd also like to address the potential vote on the certificate of appropriateness to demolish the Walnut Street garage. I was able to attend the meeting on August 2nd, and the HARB unanimously tabled the application because they felt there wasn't enough information. So they were asked to bring more information to the next meeting. I had to work at the next meeting, but I've been able to watch the replay on YouTube, and no information was presented in writing to anyone in the room. It was all talking points. The public had no effort to prepare for that meeting because nothing was posted in addition on the HARB website with this application. They recycled the June 30th posting, which, by the way, was put up a week after all the other postings and only after many people in the neighborhood complained that the copy of the Parking Authority's certificate of application with the August 2nd meeting was being hidden from the public. So I don't think that the Parking Authority has been forthcoming about this, and I think that at every turn people are hiding information from the public, so we're unprepared to speak. I was one of the several citizens that submitted written comments for the September 6 HARB meeting, and I don't believe the members were each provided with a copy of those comments, and they were not read into the record, and from watching the meeting there was no mention of the comments from the public. So why even come to meetings? Why even write letters? If things are just going to go through like a runaway freight train, it's crazy. It's like this lady's neighborhood. It's like when the people came here to zoning meetings and were worried about damage to their homes because of the massive construction for the Armory apartments. All those variances went through, and I said, oh, well, you know, if there's damage, you can file a claim with our insurance company. I don't want people to monitor the slow destruction of the centuries-old homes in the historic district. I don't think that this has been thought through. And then HARB was pressured between the second, the meeting August 2nd and the meeting August 6th. And now I understand that apparently similar pressure is now being applied to city council members, individually instructing council members that they cannot vote no on a certificate of appropriateness from HARB. City council is a legislative body, and its members can vote any way they choose. I implore you to check with your solicitor about the rights and privileges of an elected legislature before you take direction from this administration. This is government by bullies. I hope there are four members of council willing to stand up to the bullies. Here's another question. What about the carbon footprint of demolition, plus rebuilding a garage that's 50% taller than the current building, and also construction of an undetermined height, high-end apartment building on the other half of the Walnut Street lot, versus the carbon footprint of repair and proper maintenance of the existing garage? What happened to all the concern about the environment? Are environmental regulations only for the little people and not the connected insiders who benefit from government favors? I request a study be conducted first to determine the environmental damage this unnecessary and wasteful project will cause. This entire project is based on greed and not need. The willful neglect of regular maintenance, potentially involving the diversion of millions of dollars over several decades, dollars that should have been spent on scheduled maintenance, have manufactured the appearance of a crisis in order to clear the land and then sell half the lot in a private no-bid deal to a favored supporter of the administration to build lucrative apartments. Are these going to be affordable apartments? Is it going to be part of our grand homeless center? I don't know. We haven't talked about it. We'll find out after the garage is torn down. The proposed replacement garage will not have enough parking spaces for future visitors in the city and will be 50% taller, towering over single-family homes in the Northside District. With two major sinkholes having damaged buildings within two blocks of Walnut Street in the last quarter century in downtown Bethlehem, a structure the proposed height could possibly topple onto the existing single-family homes. I hope City Council will not subject another neighborhood to the months-long torment that the residents around the Armory project had to suffer. Has any member of Council asked those residents if they were satisfied with the so-called safeguards on that project? Maybe going forward, all citizens are going to be subject to the Windish Church treatment. I have faint hopes that City Council will stand up to the Parking Authority and the administration in defense of the little people in our community just once. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Rommel. Was there anyone else to the right who wants to make a comment who hasn't had a chance to yet? Mr. Antalik.
Stephen Antalik, 707 Ridge. I didn't intend to speak, but listening to the comments, I find provocative. And possibly try to get to the core of the problem. And to me, it appears the core of the problem is control. And how is that achieved? You look at a fundamental document, which is the organization of the government of the city of Bethlehem. And I might be repeating myself here, but I think it's cogent to the point that's happening tonight. Between city council and the administration, boards, commissions, and authorities are independent of both entities. But administration appoints and council approves. And council has the ability to ensure that best people are appointed by rejecting lesser people. And over the years, this has been followed. And we had the best people on the authorities and commissions. Marsha Fritz on committee. So how is control maintained? Control is maintained by administration appointing people who told the party line of the administration. And we've seen that in the non-appointments to these commissions and appointments of people to the commissions who don't deserve to be on the commission. And is a source of the complaints of practically everyone this evening. And what does that represent? Fundamentally and simply put, council is not doing its job. It's not doing its job. How? Previous councils have pressed administration when certain people have not been appointed. A highly qualified person has come here, presented a curriculum vitae to be appointed, and it's never happened. Council will say, well, we only approve, we can't appoint. But council has the ability, as the gentleman had just said, to be a check and balance and say, why are not these people being appointed? It's a fair question. And that will provide transparency. How? Because the council asks a question, the administration is required to answer. And council is not usurping administration authority, it's merely being the check and balance, which the gentleman just said, does not exist today. Based upon Consul Maggie Szabo, Gene Blinsky, and Mike Schwader, they were a check and balance. And they openly spoke at meetings when they felt something needed to be said. And there was sometimes heated exchanges, but they were objective. And they were engaged in the best interest of the city. So, the fundamental problem is not being addressed, and who is suffering? The people, based upon their pleas and complaints here this evening. And it's painful to hear. It's painful to hear that. Because...
Mr. Italics, I'm going to ask you to please bring your remarks to a close.
Just think about it.
Thank you, Mr. Antalics. Is there anyone else in the room who has not had a chance to comment who wanted to? So we're going to move on to our second public comment. That is for anything that is on tonight's council agenda. We do not have anyone previously signed up. So again, I'll go around the room. Starting with the left, was there anyone who wants to comment on anything we're voting on tonight? Turn to the wide center. Was there anyone who would make comment on anything we're voting on tonight? All right. So that's going to conclude our public comment portion. Thank you to everyone who made comments this evening. Moving on to old business. Any old business for members of council? No old business. Communications. Communication 6A.
On August 30th, 2023, communication with an attached resolution from Tiffany Wismer, Department of Economic and Community Development Business Manager. Ms. Wismer recommends an agreement with ArtsQuest to assist Northside Alive in securing an artist in residence to complete a large-scale mural in North Bethlehem. The contract for the work is not to exceed $4,000. The work is to be completed by June 30th, 2024. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10A is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6B.
a September 8, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins seeks permission to increase the amount being sought for a grant being offered by the Pennsylvania DCED. On July 18, 2023, Council authorized a multimodal grant application for $2 million for improvements to the unit block of West 3rd Street, which is expected to undergo considerable change with the construction of a new community cultural center by ArtsQuest and a new multi-unit mixed-use residential building. The grant project would address safety and connectivity concerns on West 3rd Street. The city was notified by the state that the total project cost of $2,753,000 is eligible, necessitating the increase in resolution amount.
And resolution 10B is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6C.
A September 6, 2023 memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, with an attached resolution. Mr. Alcall recommends an agreement with J. Owen Bradley Construction Company Incorporated of Bethlehem. The cost is $409,739 for materials and labor to remove and replace 711 feet of pipe along East 5th Street. Term of the contract is 60 days. The city received 5 bids. The lowest bidder withdrew within 24 hours of submission. J. Owen Bradley was the next lowest qualified responsible bidder.
Resolution 10C is on tonight's agenda. Communication 6D.
A September 13, 2023 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, by and through its Downtown Bethlehem Association, and the event is 2023 Harvest Fest. Sub-permittees are Lost Tavern Brewing LLC, Social Still LLC, and McCarthy's Irish Pub Incorporated. The agreement is from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. on October 14, 2023. The agreement covers Main Street from Broad Street to the Hotel Bethlehem parking lot entrance and Walnut Street from Main to Getter Streets.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A September 5th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Health Director Kristen Wenrick recommending an agreement with Marcella McCoy of Bethlehem. Ms. McCoy will assist the Bethlehem Health Bureau with setting up the appropriate structure to bill insurance companies for clinical services. The cost of the contract is not to exceed $7,031.25. The term of the contract is through June 30th, 2024. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A September 12, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Janine Santoro, Director of Equity and Inclusion, recommending an agreement with Bradbury Sullivan, LGBT Community Center of Allentown. Contractors provide 5 2-hour training workshops and a recorded workshop available for staff that are unable to attend in person on LGBTQ plus matters. The cost is $5,000. Term of the contract is through November 30th, 2023. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10F is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6G.
A September 14th, 2023 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittees are Lehigh University and Zollner Arts Center, and the event is Brown and White Barbecue Family Weekend. The agreement is from 7 a.m. on September 27, 2023 until 11 p.m. on October 1st, 2023. The agreement covers Packer Avenue between Vine and Webster Streets.
And Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A September 12, 2023 memorandum and proposed resolution from Business Administrator Eric Evans recommending a budget transfer for the non-utility capital fund. The request proposes transferring funds to acquire 3 police patrol vehicles in order to continue to improve the heavily used police fleet. Supply chain issues also created a backlog involving replacement. Money would be transferred from the intended purchase of an ambulance. 3 ambulances have been acquired since 2021 with the assistance of grant funding, so it is believed that replacement of an additional ambulance could be delayed. The amount of transfer would be $174,525 and would be from account number 69000-66009, ambulance replacement, to account number 69000-662034, police vehicle replacement.
And Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6I.
An August 22nd, 2023 memorandum and proposed resolution from DCED business manager Tiffany Wismer recommending a budget adjustment after accounts in the CDBG/home budget were reconciled. A total of $304,593 would be transferred from three future grants and a home buyer assist program accounts into four Habitat for Humanity accounts.
And Resolution 10I is on the agenda. Communication 6J.
A September 12, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution and exhibit from Fire Chief Warnocki requesting the destruction of records from the Fire Department. The Chief has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act and the records listed on the exhibit fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And a resolution will be placed on the October 3rd City Council agenda. Communication 6K.
A September 12, 2023 memorandum from Business Administrator Eric Evans regarding 2024 budget for pension minimum municipal obligations. Act 205, the pension reform law, requires Chief Administrative Officer to submit for 2024 budget purposes financial requirements of the plans and the minimum municipal contribution to the plans of the governing body of the city by September 30th, 2023. Based on the most recent actuarial valuations and payroll data, minimum contributions that will be needed to be budgeted for 2024 are as follows. Police, $5,986,328. Fire, $2,691,838. And CMRS, $2,409,461.
This communication is for informational purposes only. Communication 6L.
September 8, 2023 memorandum and attached proposed ordinance from Assistant City Solicitor Matthew Deschler. The ordinance would amend Article 347 in order to adopt an updated schedule for fees charged by the city's contracted tax collector in the collection of unpaid and delinquent real estate taxes, water and sewer accounts, and stormwater user fees.
And this ordinance is going to be placed on the October 3rd council agenda for first reading. Communication 6M.
A September 14th, 2023 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins seeks support to submit a local share authority grant request for the Rose Garden Park in the amount of $284,870. Work would include the partial extension of walking paths, the extension of water service, additional trees and landscaping, the new lighting fixtures. This work would complete all work originally anticipated, capital improvements for the Rose Garden Park.
And Resolution 10M is on the agenda. Communication 6N.
The September 14th, 2023 communication and two proposed resolutions from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Ms. Collins seeks support for two local share assessment grants in the amount of $370,000 each to be used for Southside Bethlehem Business District sidewalk repair and replacement projects along West 3rd and 4th Streets. No match is required. The money is expected to be received in 2024, and the work is expected to take place throughout 2024 and 2025.
And both resolutions 10J and 10K are on tonight's agenda. Communication 6O.
A September 14th, 2023 communication and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development, and Sarah Satullo, Deputy Director of Community Development. Ms. Collins and Ms. Satullo seek support for the city to apply for up to $10 million in grant money through the HUD-administered Pathways to Removing Obstacles to Housing program. If received, the money from this competitive grant would bolster the $5 million budgeted by the city for affordable housing initiatives. The grant application is due by October 30th and has a 15-day comment period requirement. So this tight timeline requires council consideration ahead of the scheduled September 26th and October 10th meetings on the city's comprehensive housing strategy.
Resolution 10L is on the agenda. Our last communication, 6P.
A September 14th, 2023 memorandum with attached proposed resolution from Assistant City Solicitor Matthew Deschler recommending an agreement with Wildlands Conservancy of UMass. Wildlands Conservancy has obtained grant funding to perform tree and bush planting in Saucon Park along Saucon Creek to create support for riparian buffer, which would safeguard an environmentally sensitive area.
And Resolution 10N is on the agenda. Thank you, Mr. Millen. Long list tonight. Reports, a report from President Council. The only thing I have to report is Councilwoman Rachel Leon, who I mentioned isn't here, will be serving as our liaison to the Bethlehem Parking Authority for the balance of 2023. And that's my only report tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cologne. A couple of reports and then a list of great things we've had going on in the city in the past week. First thing is in response to Mr. Virgilio's comments about our police department, we've had 150 officers for a number of years now. Our challenge, obviously, like every city in Pennsylvania, is keeping those officers. And, you know, the situation that we have, and I actually have a meeting coming up with the other mayors and Governor Shapiro and Lieutenant Governor Davis about what we can do from a systemic point of view, is that there are simply less people that are taking the civil service test to fill the retirements that we have. We hired 6 people a couple of months ago. I'd gone to the police graduation over in Allentown. We have 6 more that are in the academy now. And we are also going through the civil service test again now to be able to hire as many as we can. One of the challenges we have with those vacancies is the idea that, you know, a couple of years ago, or, you know, and Chief Cott would know the exact numbers, is, you know, we would see 300, 400 people that would sign up for that civil service test and want to be a police officer. And now we get less than 100. And, you know, we have been looking at what are some of the things that we can do, and it obviously is on the top of mind of our list because it is a priority for us, because it is a situation we have in many areas of the city where we have the financial resources to pay the people that we have in the budget, but it is in a few places, police is one of them, it is difficult to fill the positions. The good news is, unlike the fire academy where you only can send people once a year, so since you only can send people once a year in February, sometimes those that you can't do anything about that in June or July. That's a better situation we have in the police department because there are just more frequent police academy classes. But it is obviously something that we are working on. On the positive side, I know you had referenced those 2 incidents that we had a couple of weeks ago. I mean, our police department did arrest somebody within 24 hours, and they really did a fantastic job working overtime there that weekend to be able to arrest one of the 2 people, or one of the people, person related to one of the 2 incidents, and the other investigation is ongoing. But our police department continues to do a fantastic job of, you know, we've said many times is that the data is clear that we are the safest city in Pennsylvania. We continue to be. We have been for a number of years, and a large reason for that is the dedication of the men and women of our police department who continue to do a fantastic job. A couple other updates. You may have read in the paper about another oil spill that we had last week. And so this is just from Chief Aki. On the morning of September 13th at about 10:30 a.m., police and fire were notified of a tractor trailer leaking a red fluid in front of Perkins in South Bethlehem. On the fire department's unit's arrival, it was determined that the fluid was fuel oil and the spill had started on 378 near Brighton Street. The call was upgraded to a hazmat call and team personnel were activated. Approximately 250 to 400 gallons had spilled, getting into the nearby storm drain that led to the Lehigh River. Fire personnel were able to boom the mouth of the storm drain to contain the spill, which is good news. The trailer leak was patched by hazmat personnel to mitigate the spill. The hauler's private contractor, J&J Environmental, was requested to clean up the oil and offload the remaining contents of the trailer, and this is obviously the type of situation that we monitor going forward. And the ramp was opened by 1630. Booms will be in place for several weeks. There were no injuries, but I do want to thank the Bethlehem Police Fire, or Bethlehem Fire, Police, Water, Sewer, EMS, Streets that were all involved, both counties, Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection provided support as well, and the Red Cross provided canteen services to responders. Just a couple other things. Ms. Santoro and others within City Hall, we have our bias-motivated incident report. When the Anti-Defamation League visited the NAACP Community Advisory Board in September of 2022, one of the recommendations that came out of the visit was to create a bias incident report. This would be a report that would capture incidences of anti-Semitism, extremism, bias, bigotry, or hate, which tend to go unreported due to people feeling uncertain about calling these incidences hate crimes, or not knowing how to report things like propaganda, hate speech, etc.
On August 16th, the City of Bethlehem added a bias-motivated incident report, which can now be found on the My Bethlehem app and soon on the City of Bethlehem's Police Department webpage. The form went through a few versions, with its final form being approved by the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission this past July. When someone files a report through the app, the information will go directly to the police, and depending on the content, also to the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission. If the user selects indicators in the report that would be considered life-threatening, they are prompted to dial 911 instead of proceeding. And I want to thank Sherry Penchishin, Deputy Chief Meixel, Chief Cott, Bob Novotnik, Doug Shadle for working with Ms. Stein and Ms. Santoro to accomplish this. Later on today, you are voting on the LGBTQ plus training, and just a couple comments as well from Ms. Stein and Ms. Santoro. Research tells us that LGBTQ plus people are often discriminated against while just trying to live their lives, enjoy living everything from their governmental offices to post offices to doctor offices to a number of services. The training that will be provided is focusing on direct actions to welcome and support the LGBTQ plus community. This training is great for our organization as we want to continue to serve LGBTQ plus clients and customers. And if anybody in City Council has any more questions, I have a bunch of other information that's been provided by Ms. Santoro and Ms. Stein. You probably saw last week that we had the just fantastic news that we were awarded a two-year, $500,000 planning grant that will allow the City of Bethlehem and the Bethlehem Housing Authority to eventually apply for an implementation grant to completely redo the Marvine Pembroke housing area. And as we are in the final stage of our year-long affordable housing study process, increased partnership and collaboration with the Housing Authority, particularly through this program, has topped the list of viable strategies for our city. We were Bethlehem Housing Authority was one of only 14 grantees selected nationwide for this implementation grant. This implementation grant of $500,000 often leads to the next grant, which is $30 to $40 million. And this really has the potential to transform those neighborhoods, because the Choice Neighborhoods goes beyond just updating distressed public housing stock. It aims for total neighborhood transformation, providing residents with amenities that they need to live a quality life, such as grocery stores and childcare, and services that will improve they and their families' well-being. It's a planning process that centers residents and local institutions to modernize and improve public housing. The two-year planning grant will allow us to develop a comprehensive neighborhood revitalization plan to update the 196-unit housing development. These projects replace public and HUD-assisted housing with high-quality mixed-income housing. The program requires a one-for-one replacement for each existing housing unit, and this program leverages significant public and private dollars. And one of the other things I want to mention is that based on similar choice neighborhood plans throughout the country, even though there's 196 units there now, the new plan, based on engineering and housing stock and so on and so forth, could call for anywhere between 400 to 600 units in and around the area, which is obviously just desperately needed housing. And after completing this implementation plan, it will allow us to take the next steps. This is not an easy process. It will take years. But the systemic inequities that have grown out of that neighborhood, being on the outskirts of Bethlehem, being put on the outskirts of Bethlehem, this is a real opportunity for us over the next several years to be able to transform that neighborhood. It is also a good transition as we are going to start talking about our opening doors housing strategies, which we are going to have as a two-part presentation, the first part next Tuesday, September 26th, at one of the Community Development Committee meetings, and also on October 10th, and where we will talk about the second part. And I just want to thank Council as well, because Council supported the grant that we helped to hire Collabo Plant. For a couple thousand dollars, we got $500,000 of it, and it may lead to $30 million. And once again, and I know I say this a lot, but sometimes we wonder, why do we do this planning first? We do this planning to allow for us to be ready when those big numbers come along. And I just want to thank City Council for their cooperation and collaboration there. I can tell you this, and this is not a secret, the big part of our housing strategy study going forward is going to talk about collaboration. How do we work with the housing authority? How do we work with the private sector? How do we work with our state and federal governments? How do we work across the region to come together with this idea that we have a housing crisis? And I think many people probably saw the article in the Morning Call yesterday with the charts that had to do with the census, that if anybody has not taken a look at them, you should. Two numbers that just jumped out, and they kind of broke it down by county and as far as Lehigh Valley is concerned, but it's going to be consistent. We've said some of those numbers before about what our median rent and median sales price has increased, but the rental vacancy in 2017 in Northampton County was 7%. So a healthy mark is often like 5 to 6%. In 2022, it was 2%. That's thousands of not open apartments or houses for people to rent. The renters paying 35% of their income towards their rent in 2021 was 34% of Northampton County. In 2022, 1 year later, it was 49%. We have a housing supply crisis, and it is a situation where it is not something that we're going to be able to work on alone. Those numbers should scare everybody as far as like where we are and where we are going. Because people want to live in Lehigh Valley, and they're going to continue to move here. And what we're going to talk about is what we can do on a local level, as well as what we can do on a regional level, as far as being able to do something about that affordability. A couple other things that Mr. Evans mentioned at the Finance Committee is that we did receive back the first draft of our audit from last year, which has come back as a clean audit, which is going to once again reiterate our responsible budgeting that we do in City Hall. I remember the days when the audit wasn't nearly as positive, and it was something that a lot more people were interested in. It seems as if the good news of the audit doesn't necessarily drive the same type of traffic that the negative news did 10, 11, 12 years ago. But we are going to talk about that, and that's going to be a great lead into our budget conversation. Also on October 23rd, I think I mentioned this, we are going to have our Community Recovery Fund event at Northeast Middle School at 11:30 a.m., where we're going to honor the 29 different organizations that are getting some of those Community Recovery Fund dollars. Senator Casey is going to be there. Congresswoman Wild is going to be there. And we're going to talk a lot about both the organizations that we are awarding grants to. They found out this week. And also how that fits into our systemic investment surrounding We Build Bethlehem. Just a couple other things. Mary Wright talked about Festival Unbound, and I just want to thank everybody with Touchstone for everything that, when they first did that, you know, several years ago, I guess this is the fifth year, one of the things that people said was, this is such an amazing thing that people are coming together to do this. And it takes a lot of work, and they're not making a lot of money. But the people associated with Touchstone look at this as a real opportunity to have the conversations through art, through creativity, that we are having on the government policy side every day. And their ability to be creative every year, to be able to bring new conversations and tackle those conversations, is a true service to our community. They tell us it's great to do, but I just want to say on behalf of the city, we cannot thank them enough. Because Festival Unbound really tackles a lot of the difficult conversations that we're having about changing identities in America, about housing affordability, about what it means to call a place home, how to be inclusive. And, you know, as we say too, our job is a lot easier because there are organizations like Touchstone, and I know there are people here that are associated with Touchstone, and it is a fantastic addition to our community. And then just two other things. One is, once again, Fairview Park. We're doing that rebuild as part of the Pennsylvania Municipal League. That's Wednesday, October 4th. If you've been over in that neighborhood at 4th and Market Street, you've seen a lot of work going on. Mr. Alcohol's employees have been doing a lot of the basic infrastructure to get us ready for that day when we're really going to transform that park with a lot of the neighbors. So we're looking forward to that. And then just also, once again, on November 15th at 9 a.m. here, in City Hall, we are going to be having our kind of climate action plan annual meeting, where we are going to go through what the implementation groups are doing as far as how we are putting our climate action plan into effect, how we are taking it seriously as a city, and how we're accomplishing a lot of the goals that we laid out in that planning process. So I believe that is it, President Colon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Just a couple quick comments. For Fairview Park, that is open to volunteers coming to help out, correct?
Absolutely. You know, through our social media or through Ms. Satullo, who has been organizing a lot of that with Ms. Collins and Ms. Evans, There are still openings for volunteers if they want to come, and it should be a good day.
And do people have to sign up in advance? Or
They should, just so we know, and also be able to organize different jobs and things like that. We don't want anybody sitting around if they want to volunteer. But through the websites.
Thank you. And then you had referenced, and I'll just remind everyone, we do have our Community Development Committee meetings coming up. We have two of them scheduled. The first, I believe, is next Tuesday here in Town Hall. And then as it relates to the Choice Neighborhood Grant, as someone who grew up in Marvine, who went to Marvine Elementary, who still has family there, family who teach at Marvine, I just want to say thank you to everybody. I know Councilwoman Kwiatek is our liaison to the Housing Authority. Now, the Housing Authority's had some turnover in the last little bit with the retirement of their executive director and a new executive director, and they have their own board who volunteers with no compensation other than just the goodness of service. So that's big news for the Housing Authority, and look forward to what else is to come down the road.
And just to add to that, is I do want to thank Ms. Satullo, Ms. Collins, Ms. Kwiatek, who have been going to the meetings in the past, and I've said this before, is the Housing Authority, in my opinion, was something that did the goal there, as far as previous administrations, and I would even say previous city councils, was just like, don't do anything that's going to let us know about something going wrong. And what Councilwoman Kwiatek, Ms. Collins, and Ms. Satullo have done over the past year and a half has really helped to build a spirit of collaboration. And the board members of the Housing Authority are on board as well. And we are going to need that. And that is a new thing. And our ability to work closely, this is not the type of thing that we could have done 5 years ago. It just wouldn't happen. We didn't have that level of collaboration with our Housing Authority. But that comes through the hard work of, like, I've been to a couple of meetings, but that's the hard work of Councilwoman Kwiatek, Ms. Collins, Ms. Satullo, who have been building those relationships, and our board members who understand that we need to be working together going forward. So I just want to thank them publicly as well.
Any other comments or questions for Mayor Reynolds while we're on his report, just relative to what he had introduced? Ms. Kwiatek?
Just a couple of quick questions. First of all, how many parking spots are there in the Polk Street garage? And brand new Polk Street garage.
I don't know.
730.
Seven something.
Okay, yeah, and that's a 5-minute walk to the Steel Ice Center and Arts Quest and
yeah,
in that area. It's just around the corner, right?
I believe Mr. Shuntz left, but I know he has been talking to the police about this. He's been having conversations with the police about how that works. I think we've seen the races before. This is not the first time the Cancer Society has raised money to fight cancer.
Right.
And it is a situation where they find ways to let cars through. And it is one of those situations that I think when we all go through those sometimes. You know, it's being next to Arts Quest and Music Fest for 10 days a year is very good for Mr. Shantz's bar, and it's always packed, and he's always making a lot of money. And then this is a situation where also at times for a couple hours, this is what it means to try to do events in the city. And I know that the police department, Chief Cott, Deputy Chief Meixel, has been having a lot of conversations about how to try to minimize that as much as possible. But it is, you know, even if streets are closed, as we know, we've seen this before. People go by, cars come in, people come back by a couple hours later, and things like that. So it is not different than any other situation they've been working on. And I know that the police and our traffic police are working on trying to make that as seamless as possible.
That's great. And 730 brand new parking spots right around the corner as well. So I thank you for mentioning the fact that the police force is not shrinking. I appreciate that and all of the efforts that you are making to make sure that we have that the force staffed. This was related to a public comment piece. I just wanted to ask if the city, or you may not know this now, but I'd love to know about the anaerobic digester concept for the waste treatment facility. That's something that I hope that can be taken back and discussed further. I think that was it. I'm sorry to miss the kaboom bill this time around. It's great. If you can get there and do it. It's really great. So, thank you.
Any other questions or comments relative to the mayor's report from members of council? Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. And continuing on with reports from the Finance Committee, Dr. Enix?
Yes.
The Finance Committee met tonight, Tuesday, September 19, 2023, at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee discussed and voted on four agenda items. Number one, amending the general fund related to the Health Bureau. Number two, amending the general fund related to the Fire Bureau. Number three, transfer of funds related to CDBG home budget adjustments. And number four, transfer of funds amending the non-utility capital fund budget related to police vehicles. Committee votes were taken on each of the four agenda items. The committee voted to recommend placement of appropriate bills and resolutions on tonight's council meeting agenda for each item. Wandalyn J. Enix, Chairwoman, Finance Committee.
Thank you, Dr. Enix. We don't have any ordinances tonight for final passage. Moving on to new ordinances, I'll ask the clerk to read Bill 35-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund Budget. Bill 35-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Crampton-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colum?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 36-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund Budget. Bill 36-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Crampton-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colum?
Aye. Passes 6-0. We on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with ArtsQuest to secure an artist to complete a mural for Northside Alive. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion.
I was curious to know if anybody here knows. Has a location already been selected for the mural, or is that to be determined? And then also, what will the artist selection process consist of?
Yeah, yes. So during the very successful block party on Northside Alive, there was a lot of community feedback about wanting murals, and they also talked a little bit about location. And the side of the Railroad Museum, right over there by Friendship Park on East North Street, was an identified location. And actually just yesterday, the museum confirmed finally that they are amenable to that. So that's where it will be. And then as far as the artist selection process, we're working with ArtsQuest. They have an artist in residence program. So from here, we will then, as Northside Alive, submit our request to ArtsQuest, kind of describing what we're looking for and you know, the project overall. And then they have their own sort of internal process. It's like a match between their artists and the different proposals that come in. And we'll be sort of working with them during that process to talk about you know, who might be a good fit to do the mural.
Great, thank you for answering my questions. I am always a fan of more public art in the city, so happy to be voting on this tonight.
Any other discussion from members of council? I'll just say, I don't know when we decided to start putting murals. There's a bunch on the south side and now on the north side, but I'm glad we did. And we, at least I hear comments from when I go around town with family or friends that are not local to Bethlehem. And then I know we just revealed a new mural on South Bethlehem recently too. So these are all a great addition.
We're putting kiosks now in the parking garages. We had one yesterday too, with over in the North Street garage and in the Polk Street garage, with students from Dunnigan, students from William Penn. One of the art teachers was one of the same art teachers that helped do the Hobart Street mural. And it just, it really is just fantastic. I know several council people were there as well. But it's the, you know, it's the idea that, can we paint institutional space in a way that someone doesn't tell us we're not allowed to? Like, we're going to keep doing it.
I will admit, I painted a flower box, but I don't think anyone would call that art. Any other comments from members of council? That said, we'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kuyatak?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the appropriate city officers are authorized to execute all documents in agreement between the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development to assist in obtaining multimodal transportation fund grant in the amount of $2,753,000 to be used for the West 3rd Street Corridor. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kuyatak?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with J. Owen Bradley Construction Company Incorporated to replace piping along East 5th Street. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kuyatak?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce by and through its Downtown Bethlehem Association for 2023 Harvest Fest. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kuyatak?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10E.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Monsell and McCoy to assist the Bethlehem Housing Bureau with billing insurance companies for clinical services. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kuyatak?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center to provide training workshops for city employees related to LGBTQ plus matters. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion?
I just wanted to say that in my year and two-thirds on council, I have been asked by constituents if the administration has been receiving training on LGBTQ issues and matters, and I'm very happy to be able to say yes. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kuyatak?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Lehigh University and Zollner Arts Center for the Brown and White Barbecue Family Weekend. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Before I open it up for discussion, I will acknowledge there are a few members of Lehigh's administration and team that joined us this evening to be here. Any discussion from members of council? Ms. Gramsci Smith?
I just want to say I'm definitely going to approve this. It is short term for a family weekend, and it's really nice in the spirit of collaboration that I believe it's Friday night that there's going to be food, free food available for the community to come and, you know, feast with Lehigh students and families.
Any other comments or questions from members of council? Ms. Wilhelm?
Just to say that as an employee of Lehigh University, I'll be abstaining from this vote.
Understood. Ms. Kuyatak?
Also, as an employee of Lehigh University, I will be abstaining from this vote.
Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Abstain.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kuyatak?
Abstain.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Resolution passes 4-0 with two members abstaining. Resolution 10-H.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $174,525 in the non-utility capital budget be transferred from the ambulance replacement account to police vehicle replacement account. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
Quick question. The proposal had indicated that there was a backlog in vehicles, and I was not clear on how we will be procuring vehicles given that, or where these will come from.
The backlog is from the 2024 that were ordered. The backlog's hoping is easing now. We actually have VIN numbers for vehicles that have been created. They just not have been produced and delivered yet. So from the five we ordered last year, four were on hold, only one was delivered. Of the five that was ordered for 2023 this year, we're waiting for three. So we expect to receive them next month.
Okay, so these will be new vehicles?
They'll be new vehicles, yes. And then this would add three additional. So it would be bringing 10 to us, much needed vehicles. I handed out a listing in the Finance Committee of the existing police fleet, and it is aging. There's a couple years when we didn't quite keep up due to financial constraints, and the goal is to get 5 to 7 a year. We have 5 in the budget. This will get us that number. If we get the 3 more, 8 to help replenish. So there's a number of years when the budget was real tight, 14 to 16, when we ordered 4, 3, 3. In 2021, coming out of COVID, we only ordered the 3, and one was a van, so only 2 vehicles. So we started to fall behind, and this is an attempt making this transfer to start catching up on our condition of our fleet.
Thank you.
Sure.
And just to add to that is then there will be vehicles in the budget for next year as well. So there's the possibility that we end up getting like 13 vehicles within, and this is one of those things that is like never ending frustration for us because we approve the money, we have the money, the police officers are looking for the new vehicles, and it just adds up, and then we need to get more and more vehicles. So we are hopeful, based on what's going on, obviously everybody's watching with the strike with UAW and so on and so forth, how that could potentially affect supply chains and so on and so forth. But I mean, theoretically, we could be getting 13 new vehicles here within a period of like 6 months, which are badly needed.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-I.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $304,593 in the CDBG home budget be transferred from specified future grants and home buyer assistance program accounts to 4 specified Habitat for Humanities account. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
I have a quick question.
Ms. Kliatek?
Hi. I know generally what Habitat for Humanity does, but is there something other than working on building units that they would be using this money for? Or, oh, hi, Mr. Vidoni. Sorry, I was looking at Ms. Collins. So will this all go towards building houses, or is some of it for like rental assistance or other things?
This is all for the production of 2 units.
For 2, okay.
632 William Street.
Oh, okay, great. So specifically know which houses even. So great. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-J.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem of Northampton and Lehigh Counties hereby request a Monroe County local share assessment grant of $370,000 from the Commonwealth Financing Authority to be used for Southside Bethlehem Business District Sidewalk Repair and Replacement Program. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-K.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem of Northampton and Lehigh Counties hereby request the Lehigh-Northampton County local share assessment grant of $370,000 from the Commonwealth Financing Authority to be used for Southside Bethlehem Business District Sidewalk Repair and Replacement Program. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
I have a quick question. Sorry. I just want to make sure that it was worth your while to be here today. Yeah. I was just wondering what extension of water service means in the list of items that are left to be done in the Rose Garden. If anyone knows that.
We're on Resolution 10K.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I believe you're referencing.
I thought we were already.
Resolution 10K.
I thought we had already. I withdraw that, but you can look it up in the meantime. So. I have nothing to say about the sidewalks. It's all good.
Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10L.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem of Lehigh and North Inca Counties hereby requests pathways to removing obstacles to housing grant for a minimum of $1 million from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, Community Planning and Development for the implementation of key strategies from the city's newly developed plan, Together We Can, a 5-year action plan for addressing housing needs in Bethlehem. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10M.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem of Lehigh and Northampton Counties hereby requests the Lehigh and Northampton County Local Share Assessment Grant of $284,870 from the Commonwealth Financing Authority to be used for capital improvements at the Rose Garden Park. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
Just a quick question. What does the extension of water service mean in the project in the Rose Garden?
Just extending water to allow for water access at another location in the garden, like a spigot or a fountain. That's what I'm referring to.
So do you know exactly where? So are you saying it would extend in possibly multiple directions?
I think or? Mainly what I recall is a request for having water where the market is.
Okay. Got it.
That's what I recall. There may be other things, but that's what I remember from the master plan.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Any other discussion from members of council?
I wondered about the water extension as well, and are water fountains for humans being considered in the Rose Garden as part of that?
There aren't any in the current plan, but we can revisit that.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10N.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem and the Mayor and Controller are authorized to execute the riparian planting habitat restoration agreement. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. I will accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10O through 10Q as a group.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Please read the resolution.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem resolutions are. Hold on, please. 257 Church Street to construct a pediment style roof with wall brace supporting brackets over the front door of the home and paint the existing front door and shutters with a new color. 260 East Wall Street proposes to install new roof shingles, drip edge, and pipe flashings on the front side of the roof. Existing gutters and downspouts shall remain. And 402 and 404 High Street to paint the wood shingles, trim windows, porch, and door in new colors. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the COAs?
We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Kwan?
Aye. Passed 6-0. That's the end of all of our action items this evening. Any new business from members of council? Ms. Ramsey Smith?
I just want to thank the folks once again from Cardin County Save for making the trip down here and advocating for that which is worthy of advocating for. And I just request that the administration look into, you know, what they mentioned tonight and see if there are any alternatives that we can try to come up with to deal with this issue.
Absolutely. We've been having conversations with Mr. Buscola, and he's not here tonight, but we will continue to have those conversations and be able to report back to council with everything. That's currently going on.
Any other new business from members of council? Dr. Van Wert?
I just want to say, like, historically I've been fairly ready with the criticism and tight with the compliments, but and this is just based on observational data. Over half of the things that we voted on tonight were the result of this administration going out and going for the grants, getting grants from Marvine, and it's not easy, and it takes a lot of work and foresight and hope, and I just want to tell you, you're doing a good job, and I thank you for all the work that it takes to raise this money to change our community. So thank you.
Any other new business from members of council? Well,
during public comment, Lynn Rothman made mention of a tour that was given of the recycling center. I wanted to thank you, Lynn, for organizing that tour. It was extremely informative, and to Mike Helpforster, our director of recycling, I learned a lot. He made it clear that if you have any questions about recycling in Bethlehem, where your recycling goes, they are very happy to answer questions. The site itself, if you haven't been, if you have some extra recycling between the 2 weeks that yours is collected, it is well signed. It is staffed as well as it can be with people who know what they're talking about and will be very helpful to you. So if you have the opportunity to utilize the recycling center, I'm tempted to just start taking my recycling there personally because it was such a positive experience. But thank you again, Ms. Rothman, for organizing that opportunity.
Any other new business from members of council?
I echo Dr. Van Wert's comments about the grants and all the grants proposals we're approving. I've had that exact same thought tonight, and it's exciting. And I think there's so much on the horizon if, you know, we're successful on even just half of these. So kudos. And I wanted to, along that vein, also thank my fellow council members for signing a letter of support for the Choice Neighborhoods Planning Grant. Everybody was happy to support it and to just reiterate that the council, you know, I personally, of course, I can't speak for my other council members, but the fact that they signed the letter certainly shows that folks are very much on board with solving these issues in our community and making sure that we can create affordable, quality housing for, you know, every level of folk in our community. So, again, thank you to everybody for signing that letter.
And I do just want to recognize them before we adjourn. So on Friday kicked off National Hispanic Heritage Month. There were a bunch of events already this past weekend, some in collaboration with the city, with the school district. I was fortunate to attend the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce annual gala, which was here in Bethlehem. And then all three award recipients, this is part of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce, but there were three award recipients, and they all were from South Bethlehem. Mr. Albert Nieves, who runs Nieves Grocery for decades, set to retire soon, was recognized for his years as a small business owner serving that neighborhood. Victoria Montero, who many of us know, who served as the executive director for the Hispanic Center of the Lehigh Valley all through COVID. Now she's resumed her work with St. Luke's. She was recognized. And then El Jefe was recognized, the restaurant there on 3rd Street. So I thought that was an example of recognizing business and service and accomplishment for Lehigh Valley wide. All three happen to be right from South Bethlehem, so that's pretty great. And before we adjourn, I also like to wish everyone a safe Celtic Fest, and we'll hope that the rain passes us by. This meeting is adjourned.